us.
Okay, so it's a pleasure to announce our next two speakers. First, Professor Hege Knudsen. She is a professor of human geography at the University of Oslo. In her broad work, she is focused on global production networks, industrial upgrading, corporate social responsibility, labor agency, and labor regimes. With an empirical scope ranging from the textile industries in Vietnam and Sri Lanka to the hospitality and health service industries in Norway. Markinberga Kiel currently works as a higher executive officer at the University of Oslo and published her master's thesis on Swedish nurses in the Norwegian labor market in 2015, which was an important basis for their shared publication on the issue in GeoForum in 2016.
So, okay. Maiken and I, we have studied Swedish temp workers in Norway as part of the work package of this program on the proactiveness of workers. We are going to focus on our empirical findings today. For those of you who are more theoretically inclined, we recommend our article on agency by exit, and you can get the full reference from Anders later. Maiken and I have examined Swedish nurses' motivation for temping in Norway, their experiences with their work agencies, and their experiences with working conditions in the health sector. And then how they have responded to these experiences. And their response, of course, is also something that we have a closer look at in light of their goals and aspirations and to some extent in light of their life cycles. Why did we select to focus on nurses? Well, the reason is that this is a highly skilled profession in a tight labor market, and most of the literature on temp workers is on low-skilled workers. Another thing is that in Norway there is a very high demand for nurses. According to the last figures from NAV, Norway is short of some 3,600 nurses, and there is a dire shortage of specialty nurses. Why Sweden? We focus on Sweden because the Swedish nurses represent the largest foreign group among immigrant nurses and temp nurses in Norway. Language and cultural similarities are important. Swedish nurses are highly attractive in the Norwegian market, and they are well recognized because of their good education, because of their service-mindedness, and the language is extremely important here. So the Swedish nurses, they represent some kind of a best case in terms of agency workers. Our methodology is qualitative. We, or Maiken, has interviewed 20 nurses, Swedish temp nurses in Norway, semi-structured and informal interviews. We have also interviewed some temp agencies. We have interviewed in hospitals and health enterprises from the human resources department down to the wards. And we have an interview with the Swedish Nurses Labour Union. And to this we add data from secondary sources, such as public statistics, reports and news clippings. And talking about statistics, I was in Sweden last week, and when I got home, I heard that there had been a lot of attention to the fact that Norway is lacking a lot of nurses this summer. And the figures that we have from Statistics Norway could, to some extent, corroborate this. There are problems, of course, with public statistics, because they only record nurses and temp workers for a representative week in November. That's not when the peak season is. And we have to rely on two data sets that are not directly comparable. One about immigrant and non-resident nurses in Norway, and one about nurses by education who are hired out by work agencies. But these work agencies are only the work agencies that are based in Norway. So the figures I'm going to refer to now are low. There's been some development since 2010. when 3,400 nurses, Swedish nurses, were working in Norway, according to this figure. And then I have taken the liberty to add those two data sets, even though they are not fully comparable. And today, there are about 2,700 Swedish nurses in Norway, and this refers to a month in November, to a week in November. So the figure, the amount has come down, but what is interesting, in the period from 2010 to 2014, the number employed by the work agencies declined, whereas the numbers directly employed as temp workers by the hospitals increased. That seems to be the pattern still. And now I think I will leave the floor to Maiken, who has more substance to this.
So, should be the arrows, no? Space. No. Yeah. Okay. No. It is. Okay. That's fine. So we were also interested in why the Swedish nurses were coming to Norway. And in prior literature, we could find that money was the main factor. But to find out their motivations for coming would also be helpful in explaining how they were acting and moving in the Norwegian labor market. And money was the main factor for coming, but there were also other factors explaining their presence. One was the new public management reforms that has been implemented differently, in different extent in Sweden and Norway. And as you can see, this is a quote from one of the nurses saying the reason why she went to Norway was to do a good job and get paid for it. Because in Sweden, there are less nurses and more patients per nurse. They often have to skip breaks. The tempo is higher. And they often explain going to Norway as almost being on a vacation, that it was surprising to have so little patients or so few. And there's also dissatisfaction with the Swedish labor union. So going to Norway was their own individual strategy to improve their conditions. And then there's also the work-life balance, because as I said, many had to skip breaks. And there are also some measures taken that was created for extraordinary events when it came to temping on the different wards. So they were sometimes ordered back to work, and these measures were usually just used in case of extraordinary events. So they could have come home from a shift and then being ordered right back. So going to Norway would also help them create more strict boundaries between work and spare time. And then there are also those who went for the adventure, either to use the TVA as a way to see different parts of Norway, or using the extra spare time to travel. And there's also the professional development, to work in different contexts, to be independent, to be placed on different wards. And we also saw the life cycles affect temping decision, which is also according to the existing literature, that is often before or after child-rearing age. And the only one that we interviewed who had small kids at home, she was divorced and had them every other week, so then it went fine with that. So the role of temp working agencies in the circular migration, they play a huge role in it. They offer a package, and nurses emphasizes that traveling alone is very scary, and with an agency that established contact with the workplace, they're also enabled to go and work quicker than whereas if they were to apply for a position. And it's also the being cared for. They have someone to call if something were to happen. And travel and accommodation is already set, so it's just to go, and the only thing they have to do is fix their Norwegian authorization. And all the ones that we interviewed, There weren't that many, but the ones that had started working directly and had never worked in an agency all had some prior connection to Norway. For example, being half Norwegian or living close to the border where traveling across to work is normal. And it also gives an easy possibility to work for periods on and off to work through an TVA. Either as some of them did, as 12 days on maybe and then 2-3 weeks off. Or some that use it for the weekend, some weekends or summer holidays. And the demand of nursing skills, it enables the Swedish nurses to use mobility as a way to prove their salary and their work conditions in Norway if they experience something. And the strategies and the knowledge increases with the time spent in Norway after they have established a contact network. And for example, there are some that could use to be in contact with different agencies and could use that in order to pressure the wages upwards. And they also experience that it's easy to shift agencies. Some of the agencies we talked to, they said that Swedish nurses were getting more demanding and also more expensive because they had these demands and were easy to shift again. And some of the nurses also said that some agencies had set a number of days as a limit, as a minimum, in order to pay for travel and accommodation, which then affected the ones who just wanted to go for a week in here and a week in there. And they could also, if they experienced the workplace as somewhere they were dissatisfied with, they could refuse to return to that workplace. But it was hard for them to end and quit the placement or the assignment during it, because then they could have to pay out of their contract. But afterwards they could decide not to go back. So nurses, their strategy, Swedish nurses, is often to change employer to improve the factors they are not happy with. Whereas, salary or travel method or so forth. But that entails knowing other alternatives. For example, there was one who had a bad experience with an agency and she was to travel again out for 5 weeks, but she still went with the agency explaining that she didn't know any other, she didn't have any other contact network. And our interviews also confirm what Hege is saying about going from temp agencies to direct temping for hospitals. Because what kind of experience and challenges they meet in Norway, in combination with their motivations for being here, influences how they use their mobility power. There were some that had been in doing agency work for 12 years and where the money was the main factor and they had changed many times to get the best set of factors they would like to. So many said they felt like guest workers in the Norwegian health sector, and there are three dimensions to it. Is one of them is that they experienced that there was not so well received sometimes by the Norwegian staff because they came from an agency and they supposedly earned more than the ordinary staff. And then it was the second thing is that it was important to be liked in order to be welcome back, and important to be liked in order for the workplace to give a good reference to the agency. So for to get overtime, to get those extra shifts from the agency, that was an important factor. And many nurses emphasize that we should be grateful. One of them, one of the advices that they most often said when I asked, so what is the most important advice for if you were to advise your friend who is going to Norway? That was to be keep a low profile. Remember, we guests, we should be grateful that we can come and work here. But these factors means that also that issues at work aren't often addressed, that they use their mobility to change their situation. And times they would talk to someone, a boss or something, would be about patient safety. So changing an employer is a strategy to solve the guest worker feeling. Direct temping can minimize this to an extent, because then at least they would have the same employer, and that often felt better, that they wouldn't be met with skepticism. And there's also the unpredictability often experienced when they had to go on new assignments often, and they received very little training, many said. It was often just around to show where things were, and that could also be because of the triangular work relation. Yeah. So they, and also to say I don't know how to do it could also influence the way if they were welcome back or the reference the hospital would give the agency. So many nurses experienced more advantages in direct temping. They were less on the move, and they got to know workplace better. They would know where things were. They would have the same data system to work in. And it was also the direct communication. And it was also easier to plan ahead, many emphasized, because they would often know in advance more of the amount of work, and it was easier to get extra work in overtime. But so temping direct was a good option when they have familiarized themselves with in Norway, and maybe establish some contact through maybe temp working. So even though if there it is a strong group, they're also vulnerable, and they often felt like they fell in the gray zone of the unions, because the unions, both Swedish and Norway, was working for the traditional nurses, working and living in the same place.
And then we're going to talk about mobility power in Sweden. Our case study of Swedish student nurses who fought for higher entry wages in Sweden and succeeded sheds light on mobility power in the Swedish context. How temping in Norway to some extent has contributed to the success, and that this in turn has some implications for Norway. By mobility power, we understand power to move between firms. And in this respect, we are concerned with the quitting potential of the nurses. They could use this potential just to make threats in order to obtain better working conditions, or they could actually move. And the Swedish nurses are using both those strategies. The Not Below 24,000 movement was established by student nurses in 2011. These nurses were frustrated by low entry wages, which were around 20,500 Swedish kronor. Now the average wage for student nurses in Sweden is around 25,000. Some can get up to 28,000. That is a problem to the more elderly, more experienced nurses, because they earn around 32,000 Swedish kronor now, which is not much compared to the student or newly graduated nurses. Anyway, the strategies that these student nurses made use of, that was the internet and Facebook. They mobilized and decided that they should sit for as many interviews as they could, preferably 8 to 10, and always decline if they couldn't get the wage of 24,000 or more. And they had some preparatory meetings where they discussed and inspired each other and had role plays to sit in these job interviews. And they also had campaigns in several Swedish towns where they invited opposition politicians. And they talked about the high competence and the importance of the nurses to the Swedish system, and also invoked Swedish values, such as the Swedish labor welfare state.
and the importance of the nurses to the health system in Sweden, and that the health sector in Sweden is also very important to the Swedish welfare state. But one of the reasons why these other reasons why this movement had such success was that very many elderly and experienced nurses had already engaged in circular migration to Norway and contributed to the scarcity of nurses in Sweden. So these individual actions that the elderly nurses had, being frustrated about their wage levels and their working conditions, that really laid the foundation for the work and the campaigns of these student nurses, and that's important to remember. Power that shakes structure. That means that in this process, the relationship between the student nurses and new nurses and employers changed as part of this. That the student nurses and their campaigns became more acceptable by the Swedish Nurses Union, who did not recognize them publicly in the first place. And also that it was contagious to the extent that it inspired other groups of nurses who laid off their work in order to get higher wages, and some of them succeeded. You have groups such as Now Is Enough and Nurses Roar Out. These are midwives and they are nurses in intensive care and so on. So we had some effects over and above the group of the student nurses. When we ask the question whether the structure strikes back, this is because we know that, of course, that wages in Sweden has increased somewhat for nurses, both student the young nurses and the elderly established nurses. Most of the money has been put into holiday bonuses and compensation for postponing holidays. And very many nurses are frustrated and furious about that because they would rather have higher annual wages. So that is the problem. And I think maybe some of the problem that Norway faces today with the shortages of Swedish nurses in the holiday season here is because of the bonuses in Sweden, more than that wages in Sweden has become very much higher, because Swedish wages for nurses now is around 34,000 a month. In Norway, it is the average wage is around 41,000 a month. So it's not that they earn very much more in Sweden than here. So, but I think it's good for Sweden that nurses remain in Sweden. Good for the nurses, and there are some problems for the nurses in the sense that they should have earned higher annual wages, and of course Norway stands to lose in a short-term perspective. But above all, the thing here is that both Sweden and Norway have serious problems with their health sectors, and that should be solved at national level more than competing for each other's nurses, I think. And that will be the last word from me.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you.